What a wild day to announce the new Naked Gun.
Is that true? I
wish that had been on.
Yeah.
Really?
CinemaCon is going on right now. Yeah, they announced a new. They're rebooting Naked Gun. They're rebooting Scary Movie franchise.
I saw Scary Movie.
Yeah.
Excellent. Can we go live for this?
Yeah,
absolutely. Tyler, say the same thing you just said, and I'll make the same face I just made.
Oh, we have to start with OJ.
Oh, yeah.
We got it on the recording.
Oh, yeah.
That's a podcast listener only joke for you.
Yeah, I cut everything before we go live.
Oh, damn.
I got good news.
It's R.A.D. No!
Just the good stuff, baby.
I can't. The one bad thing about YouTube is I can't do the chat from the app anymore. I have to open it up in a separate thing and chat on a delay like a peasant. I mean, our listeners.
That is the one bad thing about YouTube.
That's the one bad thing. And the other thing is everything else. Have y'all been on TikTok a lot recently?
Yeah, of course.
A little bit, yeah. Thank you. I got all those push notifications when you went through on my DM. Sorry about that.
I re-downloaded it because I wanted to, you know, I needed to look something up and I needed TikTok for that. And my timeline is horrible. I don't know what I need to do to it, but
you got to tailor it.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I don't need to go back and start liking stuff again.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You got to like stuff. Okay. You got to dislike stuff.
Did you delete your account or you just deleted the app?
No, I just uninstalled the app, and I just
okay.
distracting me at work. But
strange how your preferences aren't there. But yeah, you can like there's that little three dots in the bottom right, and you can just say like see less of this.
Oh, perfect! Because I have gotten nothing for the past week, but conspiracies about what that was in front of the sun on Monday. I've gotten a lot of that was actually Nibiru. TikToks.
Oh my god. You should start sending me and those.
You're on the good side of TikTok.
I don't see it's stuff not like good, that.
Because
oh man, that's fascinating.
My coworkers refers to it as peasant TikTok because he's like, it's like what peasants would talk about if they had TikTok during the eclipse. It's like witches took the moon. But it's like people with smartphones legitimately believing that, or someone being like, it's our ancestors' planet that's coming to look. And like people like taking videos of it and being like, I don't understand why the sun got bigger at the end. What are they not telling us? And just basic misunderstanding of science. And with millions of comments being like, we were all thinking this.
It's crazy. I saw one lady talk about how like she compared the path from the 2017 eclipse with the path from this year's eclipse.
I made an X.
Yeah, and I crossed over this one town, which is where the giants are buried. So perhaps during the eclipse, the giants will come to life. And I was like, holy shit. Like, people
San Francisco or New York?
No, it was just like, oh. If only if it was
two.
New York. But, yeah. It was. You know, maybe it's just like the accessibility. Like these people have always been out there with their crazy conspiracy theories, but now since they have like TikTok and they're able to get more traction that way.
There's a person who is unwell who I passed their handiwork on the way home because they are somewhere around the Atlanta airport and they line the highways with homemade poster boards with their conspiracies on them. And they're really good. And he's really concerned about the Anunnaki, which is like the ancient aliens race.
Nice.
And whenever during COVID was a boom for this guy. We got Anunnaki vaccine, Anunnaki Elon Musk, Anunnaki ISIS is Anunnaki was one that we got. So he's for the right side. He just has the wrong ideas.
Right.
That's amazing. There's this guy that drives through downtown Alpharetta, and his whole truck is just painted with sentences and words And last I saw, he just drives with his windows down and just shouts. And he's like proselytizing from his white pickup truck. He is also unwell, but it's just like, I'm fascinated by what that part of the brain is that we don't have, or that we have like at a moderate level, to where, you know, these people who are not doing well, where they're just like, I'm going to, every, like, my entire existence is just to like preach the gospel of whatever I've just made up.
It's the same thing that happens to a celebrity when, like, J.K. Rowling, when, like, that becomes your only thing, or like Graham Linehan, when it's just like, this is the only thing I'm going to talk. It's I think if you get divorced because of a thing, that becomes your thing.
Yeah,
that is just like, yeah, it's like, my wife didn't believe in Anunnaki, so now I have to prove her right to the highway.
I'll show her. Jeez. What would mine be about? What would you
deal breaker conspiracy?
Yeah.
Oh, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, Stevie Wonder.
I was gonna say Stevie Wonder. Yeah.
We're all in on Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
All in on Stevie Wonder.
He can see.
If our wives leave us because of Stevie Wonder stuff, we can all move in together into the Stevie Wonder truther house.
Stevie Wonder, Stevie Wonder truther
house. More like outer visions he can see.
I miss those days when we live separately.
I'm just going to track him down in public and throw things at him.
Just catches everyone.
I want to go further and say that Stevie Wonder is blind, but Stevie Wonder can use Nen. And that's why he can detect objects. I'm not saying that he can see, but I'm saying he has taken the Hunter exam. Speaking of the Hunter exam, welcome to episode, I think this is 257 of Radish, the podcast. Based on the podcast, based on the hit novel Push by Sapphire.
Did Sapphire write any other books? You can go on. I'm going to find this out.
Yeah, she also wrote A Million Little Pieces. She was the actual writer. She ghost wrote Batista's memoir. I'm Will. I'm happy to be here. I don't have any crazy conspiracy theories besides the Stevie Wonder one, which is not crazy. We have evidence. It's real. And the third Olsen twin.
Not Elizabeth. I know she's not a twin.
No, the third one.
Okay.
The third one, Trishelle.
It's like there are three Tantor. Olsen siblings, at least. Trishelle. I'm Sean, and previously, before the movie released, I was all in on the Taylor Swift is Ellie Conway, and she's the real Agent Argyle. but that is not true. Anyways, Argyle, now on Apple TV Plus.
I heard that. Did you watch terrible.
It? No, it's technically, it doesn't come out until tomorrow, but for people listening, sorry for those watching.
Yeah, coworkers.
Can't rank, yeah, coworker.
Yeah. I was curious about it, but I heard it was just awful, and I saw some like scenes from it that I'm like, nah.
I'm still curious.
I'm Tyler, and I'm of the conspiracy that people shouldn't eat mushrooms. They taste gross.
It's true.
They're squeaky.
They are squeaky.
<They're> squeaky.
You don't want squeak in your food.
Don't. You don't. If it tastes weird, slick, like slick is not a mouthfeel you want. Slick and also of dirt. Like it tastes like dirt.
It's so earthy.
Mushrooms are okay, like on a pizza, I'll say. But have you ever eaten something and not realized it was mushroom and not like it wasn't like something and mushroom. It's just mushrooms, and you're just like, oh no, what's going on?
I've never been in a situation like that, and if I ever were, they would not be my friend anymore. Yeah. Like
sometimes the little pizza pocket they hand out on international flights is mushroom filled.
Well, Tyler's because they can't domestic meat. Forever now.
<It's> just, I can't trust anything on flights anymore.
Doesn't want to risk it. I feel they like wake I've you had up and- some. like good instances of mushroom in the past. I've had some like miso soup with mushroom that was nice.
Yeah. It can maybe be fine.
Beef stroganoff.
The pizza's doing most of the heavy lifting.
That's the thing, is that on pizza, that's too much. If like you never see like mushroom be the only topping on a pizza, because that's a crazy person thing to do. But like that's mushrooms what, like, always Kaczynski like
got. That's how I caught him.
Exactly. It's like, this guy ordered just one mushroom or just mushrooms. But like it's always on like a supreme pizza where there's like onions, sausage, other peppers, and mushrooms. And it's like
black olives.
Yeah, this is a salad. But I could do like I could do like olives and sausage and pepperoni. That's fine. Mm. I think three toppings tops. Four, you're pushing it.
My dad used to work in a pizza place in high school, and every Friday night somebody would call in and ask for three green bean pizzas.
Ooh. That's too much.
They did stock that topping, and like they did make the guy his green bean pizzas every week. I don't know if he just bought them on Fridays and ate them for the rest of the week, or if he had like a cool party with like people coming over every Friday. But
I need you to ask your dad if they're canned green beans or if they're fresh steamed green beans, because there's a big difference between the two.
There is they're a big not difference.
Pizza place.
Yeah, it's so gotta it's be the canned green beans.
Disgusting. That guy's feral.
I like the canned green beans.
Oh,
but on a pizza.
Oh, just in
general. I think if they're on a pizza, it's not. See, the canned green beans, you got to put them in the pot and heat them for a long time with like bacon grease. But
okay, you got. I like the steamed ones too.
I'm a green bean fan. I'll say it. Episode 257. I'm standing in my green truth. I'm a green bean fan.
I won't join you in saying it. I'm fine with green beans. Always have been. Yeah. They're one of like the most accessible vegetables for me when I was a kid. Whenever I think about green beans, the more thankful I am that I've like aged into an adult where I like, oh, I don't need to have green beans. Like I can get my veggies elsewhere.
I made
like,
them I don't tonight. Have to have.
Did you really?
I did. I had them last night too. I hope everyone's.
I like a fresh Willis green still- bean. You know, something like good like that, but from like the Jolly Green Giant green bean can. I think I had it too much as a kid.
Well,
I can't.
I don't like the wide flat ones.
Yeah.
That you get that are like that neon green.
Oh hell!
You're just buying the wrong green beans. You got to get the right strain. The Jolly Green Giants, more of a head indica shit.
I could picture the ones you're talking about, Will. I do. You know, we've been friends for over a decade. I really do appreciate and love that you have still latched on to green beans and glass of milk for nighttime meals.
I love to draw and play. What can I say? I got big sleepover energy over here.
I age into like. I was like, oh, asparagus is fantastic. Oh, Brussels sprouts, fantastic. Like, sure. Those are like now my favorite greens to go like go to greens.
Those are yucky.
Bok choy, great. Green beans.
Bok choy is good.
Green beans, you just got to get the right ones. I'm with Will. I don't turn them down when I see them. Green bean casserole, we've made every Thanksgiving for the past couple of years because my family refuses us to branch out. But, you know.
So you don't want any of those mind green beans. You want more of a body green bean.
I'll post the can in the chat that I'm thinking of. I can't find it right now. I must get some real top shelf green beans. But yeah, I'm looking at the Italian style green beans. Those are the flat ones. Of course, they're Italian style. Need not.
It's like Vienna.
Need phone, not I guess try. It's an Austrian delicacy.
Vienna sausages, bullshit.
I love those too. I love those. I love Underwood deviled ham. Mm.
I don't know what deviled ham is.
Is
it canned?
Deviled ham. Yeah, it's canned.
Oh boy.
And it's like a spread.
You know what you need to do is you need to go to like one of those real old Greek Italian joints where you can get canned sardines and stuff like that. Like the real shit.
But yeah.
Canned sardines, I'll get behind. It sounds like Will fell asleep on like a Betty Crocker cookbook from 1962.
All my like, food comes in jello form.
Love a good jello mold.
Have y'all seen that video that's like the Canadian Martha Stewart show? And she's telling you how to make this fun new dish that's really popular in the States called pizza pie. And she proceeds to do a crime. It's in black and white. And she's like, and here's some of the toppings you can put on. She uses like bread dough or like biscuit dough as the base. Mm. And she uses tomato sauce. And then she's like, and now for the toppings. And she doesn't put the toppings individually. She puts the toppings one on every slice.
Damn.
And so one slice is just onions.
Oh.
She's like, you can put pickled onions. Or she has all these like old-timey like jarred foods. Mm. And all the comments are like, please, lady, stop.
Is it like a current video or is it like from way back in the past?
Oh, no, it's black and white, shot on the old like Panavision camera.
Okay. That's why Canadian food hasn't made it out of Canada.
It's from 1957 on the CBC. Mm. Here's an article about it from the CBC. Kathy Brady. She does use sardines. Kathy
Brady channel.
It's Kathy Brady. She's still alive and she reacted to the video of her making pizza in the 50s. Good for her. She's 99. I made up that 9.
It's good to get a food check with your friends. Folks, when listening, reach out, see what kind of weird things your friends enjoy. That
you guys making those meals from TikTok, like it's in like the baking dish and it's just like 10 Taco Bells and a can of chili and a block of Velveeta.
No, thank you.
I love when they use shrimp. It's just a way to make it worse.
I'll start off. Just because I'm still pretty hyped from it, I saw Godzilla Kong, The New Empire.
Nice.
You're apparently not supposed to announce the X in the title.
Godzilla X Kong. It's the ship.
Yeah, but apparently, like the X is like silent as like you would with like Hunter collaborations. Hunter. Yeah, like Hunter. Either way, New Empire, fifth movie. Is that true? Godzilla, Skull Island, King of the Monsters, Godzilla versus Kong. Yeah, okay. New Empire, fifth movie in the legendary MonsterVerse. It whips. It just like it's Adam Wingard, the director returning from directing Godzilla vs. Kong, has said that he was inspired by 80s toy commercials for the feel and the action of the movie, and was inspired by like walking down toy aisles as a kid for like the colors and the look of the movie. Like Dan Stevens' character, who's fantastic, is based off like a G.I. Joe.
Play Stretch Armstrong.
Not if only. It's so much fun. Every moment you're like, because you get used to the legendary kind of like way of doing things of where it's just kind of like Godzilla's on the move. We have to go here. Then we have to go here. And then they introduce Hollow Earth and Godzilla versus Kong. And you're like, oh, we're going to go in and out of Hollow Earth a bunch. It's just like, we're going to have to get used to this. No, they completely trim the fat. There's a point where he's all I can think about. There's a point where the characters need a piece of equipment to help Kong, and they're talking about like, here's the secret project
we've been working
on. Yeah, it's like we've been working on this project secretly since the last movie, or you know, since they fought each other, and it's they go in all to the project and they say like, you know, your brain's thinking like, oh, this guy, he's got to go back up to the normal land and he's got to go retrieve this thing and he's got to fly back down. And they're already hundreds of yards, if not miles away from their ship. No, they're like, cut it. That piece of equipment already down here. We are working on it. This like guy who like we went on like a minutes or hours long trip from our ship from this location to where we are now, doesn't matter, he's there and back in 5 minutes with a massive, it's just like it's pure brain off.
Yeah
it's just pure like brain off entertainment. It's so much fun. The action's fantastic. I don't want to spoil anything because like the fun is in what happens, but I want you to know, if you've gotten kind of weary of the legendary movies just because like the humans are dumb and like you spend too much time with them and you're just like tired of it, no, it's you spend a lot of time with Kong when he, you know, greets this whole new colony of apes, as you've seen, you know, the Scar King and such. They spend a lot of time with him, and it's great to just see the big monkeys on screen. It's just a delight. Kong is wonderful. And of course, Godzilla. Can't beat. Hard to beat. He spends most of the movie charging up. It's great. Yeah.
I love the idea that King Kong needs equipment. He's like, what happened to his camping axe? Stove?
He had an axe.
He has an axe. That's true. He has an axe.
But he still has it. Okay.
Yeah. The new equipment is explained. It is motivated.
They show it in the preview. He gets a robot arm.
Yeah, he gets he gets like a robot glove.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. And the reason for it is good.
So he could touch himself and it feels like someone else.
I'm excited for it to be like a Saturday or a Sunday morning in the near future where this is playing on TNT and it's the first time I see it. It's going to be great. My favorite. I've only seen two GIFs on Twitter from this film. And the first one is, of course, we've all seen Baby Kong, but in the GIF, the bad guy uses... I love when a guy picks up another guy and throws him into another guy. He just takes Baby Kong by the ankle and starts whacking everybody with him. I'm like, beat hell
my
yeah.
kid with my other... Yeah, yeah. It's great. That, and I think the other GIF is like where one of the apes like pipes up to Kong and is like shouting in his face and Kong...
Yeah, shouting in his face and then Kong just kills him.
It's fantastic. The whole movie is full of like moments like these. It's like, oh, this is like... not taking itself seriously. It's more inspired by like the like mid-aughts kind of Godzilla. It's just like real goofy and out there.
While all of the giant Kongs are together conversing, did they give subtitles?
No. But you understand.
That's a good question.
You understand. Kong still
it's like Pokemon. You know what they're saying.
Yeah. Listen, Kong still speaks like sign language to the humans. But with the apes, with the other giant apes... you feel it, you know, and it's great. I love it because of that. My only gripe with the all ape scenes is that you immediately lose idea of their scale. Like they're on this island, everything's kind of desolate. They're in this hollow earth like sort of realm, and everything's just kind of desolate. And like you see them walk by trees, but you're like, yeah, but this isn't, you know, the thing. And you just kind of lose the scale. But fortunately, you get it back later. It may change, but it's...
They should have a little guy walk around with Kong at all times. It's just like, I'm a normal-sized man.
They need, like... That's why they put Godzilla in cities, man. You need to see how big he is compared to the buildings. Like, it opens up with Godzilla sleeping inside the Roman Colosseum like a little cat. And it just makes me... It just delights me to no end. I think this was my favorite Legendary MonsterVerse movie since... If not King of the Monsters, then Kong Skull Island itself. It's just so much fun. And shamelessly so. It's just like, we refined the characters, we trimmed all the fat, have fun. Great stuff.
I wonder if the monsters get like self-conscious, and they need to go back to an Earth where it's like their scale. Because Kong just like, man, I'm knocking stuff over, people are getting mad at me. Keep stepping on taxis.
Godzilla doesn't give a shit. He wrecks like 8 European cities single-handedly.
It stacks up. Yeah. It gets to him eventually. He doesn't show up, but he takes it home.
So we're seeing.
Is Jelly Roll on it?
Okay. Jelly Roll's not in it. Will, did you message us this week? You found out Jelly Roll was real like just this week?
No, I know that he's a celebrity, but I sometimes log into facebook.com.
Oh,
popular website. And from what you would tell, he is the only celebrity. He's the only person I ever get articles about. I get articles like, you know, Jelly Roll reacts to, you know, the situation overseas and stuff like that. And I don't know if this man, I don't know what his position is. I looked him up. He used to do hip hop and now he does country. So he's got a bit of everything. And apparently he also weighs in on our most sensitive issues. I don't know anything about this person. And then I recently got a TV antenna with just the basic 251146. And he's on everything. He's on Entertainment Tonight every night. He was on American Idol this week as a guest judge. He performed on American Idol. I didn't know they let people do that who weren't competing.
I didn't know that still was going on.
Yeah, he picked it up a couple years ago.
Is he someone who like found a genie and was like, I want to be the most famous man? Because I've never heard a Jelly Roll song. I think I'm the only person who has. I honestly, it feels like a glitch in the Matrix at this point. This person is so popular and they've snuck up on me.
Yeah, no, this Jelly Roll has completely gone over my head too. And that's surprising because all big white guys know each other. So I'm surprised.
Which means that he's not a big white guy. He's several smaller white guys. Maybe it's just that
you're missing the tattoos, Tyler.
That's it. Yeah, I need the Joker eye tattoo.
Yeah, he looks like the Suicide Squad Joker.
Yeah. Jelly Roll, also, I haven't heard a single song that I know of by him. He kind of like replaced the slot in my mind that Post Malone was in, who is also everywhere, who's still everywhere.
Sure.
Post Malone, I will say, Austin seems like a cool guy. I'm fine with him. I
got a country album this year.
Exactly. Oh. Everyone's got a country album this year. But I feel like, you know, people got tired of Post Malone and then Jelly Roll came along and they're like, oh yeah, this guy. And I don't know.
We need a white guy with face tattoos at all times.
Yeah. You just got to keep filling it in.
I assumed he was some sort of like success story of like, well, this is clearly a man who's like been to prison and is now like a successful country artist. And I completely Mandela affected that to myself. He has not been to jail. He has not done that. He is, as far as I can tell, always been the most famous person.
Yeah. He's got all the face tattoos and he named himself after an early 20th century jazz musician.
Who also snuck up on me.
Well, yeah.
Jelly Roll Morton just really came out of nowhere. Hit the scene really hard.
Yeah.
What 1920s jazz musician would you rebrand yourself as?
I can't say. We'll get the podcast taken down.
I'd not 1920s, more 60s and 70s, but I'd pick up the Mingus name because I think that's...
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Charles Mingus, big bassist who just didn't give a shit. Love it. Tyler, your name is practically Thelonious Monk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be Chick Corea, but I'd spell it correctly. Really hit the K-pop scene.
Exactly.
He's still old. Oh, he died. He died during COVID. Oh, man. It's open. All right. Did y'all see the guy during... There was an earthquake this week in the Northeast. It didn't hit the West Coast. It hit the Northeast. And there was a man in New York who was... have y'all seen the article that I posted? Don't look at it if you haven't.
I haven't.
What's the last place on Earth you'd want to be during the earthquake?
I think like on top of a large tower or on a tightrope.
Okay, tightrope. Oh. Pretty good answer.
I've seen the headline, so I'm trying to also think of an alternative.
You can't think of anything well, Tyler, but that, huh?
Whatever you think of, it's not going to be as bad as where this guy was. Okay. He was getting a vasectomy.
Oh! What happened? Did he become extra fertile? Like they just like missed and like clipped something that just...
We cut the whole thing off.
We clipped the secret vein. Now he's getting so much of it.
Every woman in a 20-mile radius, get her out.
Now he's super fertile.
This man left our clinic in heat.
We set it to Wumbo.
From what I've seen from this earthquake, it's like a slight rattle.
Yeah, he was in the building.
I've been through a few.
He thought a train was passing underneath. He said the doctor put the tools down, and they both sat there for a second, and we talked about how they'd never forget where they were for this earthquake.
That's true. Doctors see hundreds of patients throughout the week. That doctor's going to remember that man forever.
Yeah.
And his... what's a nice word for ball sack?
There are no nice words scrotum? For ball sack.
There are no... Scrotum just feels...
Doesn't feel good. Doesn't roll off the tongue nicely.
You know, the New Yorkers have 100 words for ball sack.
New Jersey. It wasn't in New Jersey, or was he New Yorker?
It was the tri-state area.
Yeah.
Oh, with the vasectomy.
I'm trying to see where it was. The Northeast is so confusing. It says, this man from Pennsylvania was in the New York City metropolitan area when the earthquake that hit New Jersey. That's three states right there.
Oh, okay. So he's from Pennsylvania.
But he was in New York.
Hey, that's one less Phillies fan, man. That's great.
Yeah. One less future Phillies fan.
What's he wearing? He's wearing a Mississippi State shirt. That's whatever. As long as...
Wow. He's an everywhere man.
He's a king of the road.
Yeah.
Trailers. What else happened this week? Did you see the Czech judo champ rhinoed herself? Speaking of earthquake.
Yes. How was she a judo champ to begin with is my question.
Well, she looked hard to knock over.
That's true.
Yeah.
She ran full speed at her opponent. Her opponent, this is very like mountain versus the viper. Her opponent dodge rolled out of the way using iframes. And she tripped on herself and fell and hit her head on the side of the cage and knocked herself out.
Concussed. Jesus.
She wasn't even moving that fast. Well, I guess she did come down hard.
Inertia.
Yeah.
This is like children's game tactics. Like, I'm pretty sure you do this in Mario. Like,
yeah.
This is how you beat a Minotaur in every video game.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Olé.
The person she's fighting probably was so smug for the rest of the day. I did the dodge roll and it worked.
Well, you get it added to your record. But that's the thing, though. They were both in very different weight classes. Why did that fight even happen?
Yeah, was this on record? Or
I assume the Czech Republic judo tournament doesn't have a whole lot of rules.
So that's true.
It was. It looked like it was in like a Denny's. Like it was.
One just step a good up video being of in a back alley.
It's a Tekken stage.
We all learned judo 40 years ago. Now it's time for tournament.
I don't know what the Czech sound like. Sorry to the Czech.
Can I do a quick tweets as literature?
Yeah,
please.
All right. This is an exchange. So this is tweets as literature. Every tweet is in the Library of Congress. This is to point out to the librarians of Congress out there which tweets they should highlight. For people who are in the library thumbing through,
you think this isn't they assign tweets by Dewey Decimal System?
They've got like it, right? What's the point otherwise?
Right.
Tweets about science. These are tweets about nudes in bio. It's got its own Dewey Decimal Number. This is a three-person exchange. Twitter user E.M. Hudson. It tells a story, though. Which is why I'm considering it. Twitter user E.M. Hudson says, dudes can literally sit around and name old sports players and just have the best time. And Kyle Boggs replies, this is because of decades of gender and sexuality research tell us that this is a dude thing because some men do not have the social permission to create direct bonds with other men. Those bonds have to be indirect through sports, talk, women, etc., which is why one of the many of the ways that heteropatriarchy hurts men too.
Mm.
And a Twitter user Crash Override replied to this. Any relation to Wade Box? just an absolute perfect reply. just Rosencrantz and Guildenstern over here.
True.
This has been Tweets as Literature. I have a bunch more. I'm excited to read them. I mean, I'll get like a little like Masterpiece Theater thing.
Oh.
You
can use the name. PBS is coming after us. I pay for... I give money every year to Georgia Public Broadcasting, so I think we have the right to use
them. I can use whatever I want to. It's called PBS.
Yeah. Public Broadcasting System. It's for... We're broadcasting.
I've been making money off Arthur merch for years.
I pay for PBS because they're the only place to stream the Ken Burns documentaries.
Mm. Can you stream them for free or do you have to pay for them?
You got to pay for Passport, but it's only like $10. and you're donating to the...
What is that frequency? I think it's $10 a month.
Damn, that's like almost Netflix money. That's PBS ain't that good.
$10 a month for PBS? You're paying... Do they thank you in every episode?
They have the commercials that thank Sean, but...
you're paying $10 a month for PBS?
I like Liberty Kids as much as the next guy, but I wouldn't pay $10 a month to see it.
I think Hulu was six.
I might have to go back. I haven't opened up the PBS app in a while.
I cannot wait to audit Sean's finances in the next week of
Radish. Oh, I mean, you know, it's
10 gonna accounts. Be worth,
I'll break into both me and Peyton are paying for PBS. No,
so standing members.
I'm going to break into another show and tell. This is probably making it way uneven. But the Criterion Channel,
oh boy,
just announced, or they have in the app now, a 24/7 stream of just movies in the Criterion collection. So you can open up the app, hit the 24/7 stream, and just have a classic, delightful movie on. Like this morning, before I left for work, they threw on one of my favorite little... Jacques Tati movies. I know I'm speaking the way I'm speaking, but it's just like a lot of delightful stuff.
One of my favorite Jacques Tati movies, which means you have multiple favorites, and that implies multiple non-favorites.
I have the box set. He was like a French Charlie Chaplin. He was great. You guys would be delighted by his movies.
Well, but comedy is okay. The clown is more difficult, so I am on.
Yeah. It was a delight. And before that, they had a movie by Yasujiro Ozu called Good Morning or Ohio, in which these two boys, just these two little Japanese school children, refused to talk at all until their parents bought them a TV set. And it was great. It ends with one of their friends trying to fart, and he shits his pants and has to stay home from school. And nice. The movie ends. But it's just like such a nice way to like discover stuff and just like have it on. Will, you'll appreciate this if my memory serves right. I threw it on when I got home from work tonight. They're playing Robert Altman's The Player.
It's just, if I'm going to pay for a streaming service, they better have like Thor the Dark World on there. Otherwise, I'm not going to watch. I don't want to watch these jock titty movies, but I could be watching some highbrow cinema like Ant-Man Quantumania.
Turn on FX Movies.
And FX Movies is good, and Turner Classic Movies is good, but it's nice to like, it's the Criterion Channel, so you know it's going to be like a ew.
Do they have the
Equalizer like it's going to be more curated? No, but they have the first one.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That one's a little pedestrian for my takes.
With Queen Latifah?
I haven't seen the Equalizer.
You gotta watch more of that antenna TV, Will. Why did you buy an antenna for your TV?
So I could watch the Oscars, I think. I wanted it so I could watch like a Super Bowl.
Fascinating. What do you have now that prevents you from watching local cable?
What do you mean?
Oh, you don't have like any TV streaming service?
No, I don't have anything.
Oh, I understand.
For years, I just had YouTube, and I would go there and look at the Nintendo Directs, and that was the only thing I had that was resembled news. I know when the Sora amiibo is coming out, but I don't know what country we're at war with.
Okay, good to know. Good to hear.
Speaking of news... this week there were not one but two instances of a gun being pulled at a fast food location. Hey. I know. Can I walk you through both of them?
Yes,
please.
One was in Southfield, Michigan. A customer allegedly shot a Chipotle employee for not getting enough guacamole.
Damn. Someone finally did it.
He said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah. It wasn't the fact that he had to pay extra for it. It was the fact that he didn't get enough.
Well, I think he's paying extra. And if, you know, you get that light scoop, you're like, I paid extra in this.
You bet. Chipotle these days, you pay like upwards of $40 for a Taco Bowl. I swear to God. Like, I would be like so pissed if they were skimping on anything, honestly.
Yeah.
I just don't have a gun. That's the main difference.
The only thing stopping you.
Once I get my hands on a gun, it's over for you, Chipotle.
All right, we're clipping that.
I can't run for office anymore.
I was going to say, Tyler, I think you're in one of the easiest states to attain a gun, so that's not so bad.
That's true. The problem in my state is that the Chipotle employees probably also have guns on them as well, so it's going to turn into a full standoff.
For sure.
I'm trying to read the article here.
Sound it out.
A lot of consonants. Apparently, they got into a fight. The employees ran in the back, and then he proceeded to hop over the counter and get a cup of guacamole himself. Which I don't condone violence here, but I do like that he still got the guacamole.
Yeah. Oh, so he got over the counter and got the cup of guacamole after shooting the employee?
He yelled at her. She went in the back. He jumped over the counter and got the guacamole. And someone a 21-year-old male employee tried to stop him, and he got shot.
No.
You don't stop a man who jumped the counter to try to steal 30 cents of guacamole.
You don't get paid someone for that.
As someone who's worked in, like, you know, multinational, multi-billion-dollar fast food, just let him take it. Like, whatever, man.
Shareholders. Like,
you write an incident report, you're good to go. Don't get them to the point where they have to pull out a gun. That's just wild.
The second one is even better. This happened in Ohio. Customer pulled up to a Burger King drive-thru and got two sausage, egg, and cheese croissants, a sausage biscuit and a hash browns. The total came out to $8. Mm-hmm. The man in the drive-thru said, "That is not right. It should be $11. And the guy said, "We're having a deal right now where you get two sausage, egg, and cheese croissants for one." And he pulled out a gun and tried to kill the man because he thought he was lying to him.
Jesus Christ.
The guy in the drive-thru said, "I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why you want to pay more money."
He survived, right?
Yeah, he didn't get shot. He got threatened. He threatened him with a gun.
In the morning, too, man. Like, how do you wake up with that much rage? That's... So well, wait, you're saying that like the Burger King employee totaled it at $8, whereas the customer was like, "I expect to pay $11?
Yes.
What the hell?
The guy thought he was being like pranked or something. Or it was like, "This should be $11. And the employee was like, "I don't know what to tell you. It's $8.
System won't let us add any more money, sir."
Then I read some Twitter comments on this, and people were like, "I used to work at Best Buy. We had a price match policy, and sometimes they would ask me to price match a store, and our price was already lower, and then they would get mad at me for not price matching, so I would have to raise the price of the TV for them."
Whatever, man. Yeah, here you go.
All right, if you want to pay $200 more, I guess that's on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The next generation of kids is pretty fucking toast, but I do think they will be raised in a world where they're not taught the customer is always right, which is a good thing.
There's a second half to that statement.
Oh.
The customer is always right is not the full quote.
Oh.
The customer is always right in matters of taste is the full quote. Because it's supposed to be like you can't correct someone if they want, like, you know, tacky walls and you're like a wallpaper guy. It's like you're not going to be like, it's like whatever they want is their decision.
Yeah.
The customer is always right is not the quote, and people have taken it to be like, well, I know
I'm the customer.
They're incorrect right there.
You know, that reminds me, bringing it back, we have sold Jelly Roll albums before, you know, so the customer, I wasn't going to tell him I'm not selling you a Jelly Roll album. We're going to sell that Jelly Roll album no matter what.
What if he absolutely slaps? What if he's just like, you put it on, you're like, my God, this is music.
Doubt it. let's pull up the Jelly Roll. Speaking of Jelly Roll, have y'all heard of Hardy? Do you know about Hardy?
No.
I had the biscuits.
Okay, great. Hardy is another country singer, used to be a songwriter, and is now breaking out into doing his own music. Oh, yeah. No, he sucks. He only wears a hat. His music is just the most butt. Yeah. His music is the most butt country music you've ever heard in your life.
Down by the lake beach.
Listen to Truck Bed. It's too much. But yeah, Hardy is there. Like, country's in a weird place right now where there's like good musicians actually doing interesting things with the genre. You know, you've got your Tyler Childers, your Sturgill Simpsons, even like Zach Bryan is appropriately lauded for like leading a sort of new generation. But then you got guys like Hardy and, you know, Morgan Wallen that are still making the butt country music that everyone hated when they said like, oh, I like everything but rap and country. Like, no, that's bullshit. You just don't like what's popular country.
Sturgill Simpson was not invited to the CMAs the same year he won Best Country Album at the Grammys. There are not to be all Alex Garland on you, but there are two countries.
Yeah, I guess so. It's I know Sturgill. I think Sturgill's like, did I hear that he's like retiring from? I don't know, but his music's brilliant. He really does. Like, there are some really great country musicians out there.
Orville Peck.
Coulter Wallace, sure. Fantastic. I hear great things about like Maren Morris and I lost the name. I wanted to have it a more equal and name some women Chesney. Country artists, Kenny Chesney. But it's just like Hardy and Jelly Roll. It's just like, oh God,
big and
we'll enjoy it. People get into it.
Big and Rich is still going hard.
It's got that hat.
We're gonna listen to Jelly. We'll do a live Jelly Roll. I'm looking at his Wikipedia now. The last thing is Jelly Roll came out in support of anti-fentanyl legislation. So,
wow.
That's great. Wow. Finally, someone speaks up against fentanyl.
We got a problem in this country, man. Oh, man. Jelly Roll sold out Nashville's Bridgestone Arena and was joined by some people I don't know. Chris Young, Sam Hunt, Shinedown, Tech Nine. And oh, man. He completed a 44-city back road baptism tour, which don't Google that.
Nope.
That's going to bring up a video you don't want to see.
I'm looking. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to move on.
All right. Let me just. Can I read you the similar artists on Jelly Roll's Apple Music page? The first being a man named Struggle Jennings.
Nice.
I don't want to judge this man. He sounds like he's been through a lot.
He looks like this.
He looks like he'll kill you.
Why is he lit
like
that?
He looks like a bad WWE wrestler. followed by Lil White, WYTE, and then finally Haystack with no nice. C.
Haystack's a great name.
Haystack looks like Uncle Cracker rebranded.
I don't think I've ever seen Uncle Cracker. It's just
you've seen There's Uncle no, Cracker.
I know him from Drifting Away. Yeah, I like the raw and smackdown dichotomy we have right now of country music.
Truly,
which one's which? Is Lake Beach country? Is that raw?
I'd say Jelly Roll is raw. Zach Bryan SmackDown.
Stapleton SmackDown.
Stapleton SmackDown.
Okay. I like this. I like this. We got a brand split. His wife is named Bunny XO. That can't be her legal name.
Nice.
Is that her Christian name?
I don't know. People are out here named Blaze. I wouldn't be surprised if someone was named Bunny.
Blaze is a great name. But now if you're my favorite Pokemon starter.
We have kids in our generation named Blaze, which amazes me.
We had one at Milton who went into a coma from smoking synthetic marijuana.
Yep. Forgot about that.
We're all looking for the guy who did this.
Just imagine being in the hospital and them being like, so what do you want to name your baby? Blaze. And they have to seriously write that down.
The doctor says, hell yeah, dude. It's sick.
Hell yeah. My father's name was Blaze. He's sick. A blue monster.
My baby was born through a hole in drywall.
Baby cracks open a Monster Zero Ultra.
I had one of those yesterday. We're about to enter like a whole world
where we have like, there are kids like McCainty and Braley and
McCainty's a Tungsten great name.
And Tungsten. Tonka. Did you see? Like, it's just like people are just throwing vowels and letters together. And it's just like, these aren't names.
There are.
Or they're names, but they're misspelled so poorly.
Oh, producer Jess and I have already decided that if and when the day comes, Jaguar Far will be the firstborn. It's unisex. It's one word.
Jag. Yeah.
All caps. He's got a sprint everywhere.
He's going to be an MF Doom type.
Jaguar. You can't say his name. You have to yell it.
It's really good. Jaguar? Oh, man.
Yeah.
If I am the godfather for your child, well, I will, and if they are baptized, I will whisper to them Jaguar when they are baptized. So that is their actual secret name.
They'll be baptized. That God knows them as.
Not traditionally. Exactly. More of a Spartan baptism. I had something.
What is a Spartan baptism?
You gotta find out.
I'm Googling it.
It involves a pool of blood and a big well where we kick the Xerxians.
Oh, that's right. Producer Peyton sending me more modern baby names. I think it's of that Mormon influencer mom who said she can make her own cereal for her kids. She has children named Rumble Honey, Slim Easy, and their newest sibling, Whimsy Lou.
The Gooch.
All of those would feature on a Jelly Roll song.
Yeah.
I could like see that. Jelly Roll featuring.
Did you see that there are three MLB players born after 2003?
Yeah.
They're all named Jackson.
Oh.
Because 2003, baseball family, that kid's going to be named Jackson.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Great.
When did Michael die?
Oh, Jackson.
He died 20...
Some guy named Michael that we knew.
I think Michael Jackson was 2009. Yeah, yeah. Because we almost did that... Remember, we almost did the Beat It dance for a pep rally.
That's right.
Too soon.
That's right.
It's like doing the USC Trojans touchdown dance today. Rest in peace, Orenthal James. You leave behind the comp...
His wife must be in pieces right now.
Oh, man.
Look, he leaves behind a complicated legacy.
Yeah.
He also ran for over 2,000 yards in 14 games.
14?
14. Right?
That's amazing.
He's probably the best person to come out of Buffalo.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, if 1994 didn't happen, I think O.J. Simpson would be a beloved figure.
Yeah, he'd be on the money.
Like going
sports
from...
sports memorabilia.
sports to like the naked, like having a sense of humor to act in like the Naked Gun movies. And I think
he's great in those. I hate to say
Tower Inferno. Yeah. He got great comedic timing.
You gotta hand it to him.
Yeah, but he killed had those bad people, prime though. Timing. Yeah.
He definitely killed those people.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a murderer.
He was the best guy around.
What murder?
What murder? Tyler, do you have a show and tell this week? Do you want to talk about anything?
Yeah, well, I was just going to... I'll go really quick. I know we're at the end here.
I get some more stuff to talk about.
Okay.
There's
okay,
no
okay.
such thing as Spartan baptism.
Yet.
Unless you are at Sparta United Methodist Church in Sparta, New Jersey.
Hmm. I was just going to talk about Only God Was Above Us. Great album.
Please do.
Vampire Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good. That's really all I could say about it. You know, it's kind of like classic Vampire Weekend with like the, you know, the island sounds, the quartet sounds.
The strings.
No, I'm bad at talking about
it. Oh, yeah.
But you also got the new stuff, the new just kind of like noise like that. That's new Witchy. For them, which is which is cool. You got Connect, which is like weirdly Ooh. Self-referential. Like it has the drum beats from Mansard Roof, and also
that's what that was.
Yeah, the keys from Campus, I think. Yeah. Yeah, obviously they're doing some self-reflecting on this album, and it's great music. So check it out if you're a Vampire Weekend fan, or if you're not a Vampire Weekend fan. If you're not a Vampire Weekend fan, what the hell, man?
And Don't Rostam helped produce it.
He's
credited. He's credited on one of the songs as the producer.
Oh, good. Because you could definitely tell, like, and with a new Vampire Weekend album, and obviously working at a record store, I've been hearing a lot of Father of the Bride hate or disdain.
What?
From other customers.
That's a great album.
To which I go, no, return to it. It's great. It's not. It's
really good.
Here's the thing. It's the same thing as, like, In Rainbows and King of Limbs. The worst thing about Father of the Bride is that it had to follow up Modern Vampires of the City, which is one of the greatest albums, top 10, easy, of the 21st century.
Sure.
And it doesn't amount to that, but it is a great record. And
oh, I still listen to songs from that album. I love it.
Summer vibes all day.
I had like one play at my wedding, man. It's, yeah. Yeah, Only God Was Above Us is super fun, super self-aware, and the new direction that they're taking, it always seems organic. It's always great. And I saw that Vampire Weekend played with Goose last night.
Oh.
And they played Cape Cod Kwasa Kwasa for 31 minutes. They went on a Cape Cod jam.
I love that song.
That's a good song.
I
was listening to that before
Vampire
we started.
Vampire Weekend on their like surface seems like, oh, it's a Vineyard Vines frat bro preppy band. No.
Sure.
They are some jam band weirdos. Like they are like
Which is Vineyard Vines frat bros.
Okay, fair. I know I said jam band, but like they are like they're much more alternative than like, you know, the first album would have you believe. But yeah, Only God was great album.
Real quick before we get out of here. I want to plug one more thing that I just started it, but I think it's worth your time. There's X-Men 97 on Disney Plus.
Oh.
You know how people are always like, we got to reboot this. We got to redo a spiritual sequel to this. Disney said, hey, remember the old X-Men cartoon that everyone loves? Well, we've made more episodes of it. It picks up exactly where the 1994 or 93, 97 series ended in 97 and just treats it as season 6. And it just starts off with the same opening, as the one bad thing about it is it doesn't premiere on Saturday mornings, which it absolutely should. But you could still watch it on Saturday morning, which I highly recommend.
Yeah.
It's got, I think the voice cast is different because some of them have passed on or couldn't come back, but I think it has a lot of the same voice cast. And the ones that are doing kind of the same thing. It's great. It's why the X-Men are good. It's why you should watch or care about the X-Men. And then seasons 1 through 4. There's also a season 5, but it was made in the Philippines on the cheap. And wasn't really planned. It was. So seasons 1 through 4 have like really pretty good quality animation. And then season 5, they cut the budget by like everything. And we're like, we'll send this overseas and let some place in the, and it's like the timing's all weird. And it's like, it's like weird stories. And like, it doesn't, Rogue regularly takes her gloves off and they just forget to animate her with gloves. So she's just touching people. And you're like, hey, but yeah, X-Men 97, the first episode makes you really care about Cyclops, which is the biggest thing about it, because Cyclops is my favorite and he is the biggest dork in the movies, and they actually make him cool.
Nice. That's nice.
It's got Bishop.
I like,
it's got
Morph again.
It's got some better B-tier X-Men. It's got Gambit doing his weird voice.
Do we need to watch the first four seasons beforehand? Because I wasn't all up on the Fox Kids. I was a one Saturday morning kid.
You get the gist. It's the X-Men.
Okay. I guess it is X-Men. If they brought back Recess, man, that'd be aces. Oh,
I watched Recess this week. Wow.
It's on YouTube. It's so good. It holds up, man. Recess is so good.
I love Recess. But yeah, X-Men 97. This week's episode got a lot of praise. Check it out.
Nice.
Sweet.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, is that going to do it for us this week?
I think so.
Do you have any more business?
I'll save my... no.
Okay.
All right, well, after that... what if we just cut the episode right there? no. The sound of a CRT TV turning off. All right, well, this has been Radish, the Show and Tell podcast. Hope we're giving you some good stuff and caught you up on the wild and crazy world that we live in these trying times. Sorry, I don't know what that came from. I've been Will. I've been your host and editor this week. I hope you like me.
Aww.
You can find me at Will from Radish. And on Xbox and PlayStation, playing Helldivers as Radish Bill. If you see Radish Bill in your squad, please revive me.
Not on Xbox, though.
No, just please. It's my gamer tag, but Helldivers is just on PlayStation right now. I'm sorry.
I want it to get... I know.
It's the best game.
So fast. I'd pay, oh, you should, I'd pay get money for it immediately.
I don't have a PlayStation. Oh, PC, though. Sorry, yeah. John.
It's got crossplay.
I'm Sean. You can find me on Twitter at Sean from Radish, Letterboxd at Sean M. Barry. I think it's the same on Xbox, too, but I'm not really playing games. I'm spending too much time trying to catch the tail end of a fucking Robert Altman movie on the Criterion Channel.
I'm no longer playing games.
Playtime is over.
I'm watching The Player.
Just rewatched Girls. No, it's okay.
I'm Tyler, and later this year you can find me on Letterboxd at SpliffyT420, where I'm going to be rating Survivor and Top Chef seasons just to piss Sean off.
I honestly would love that.
I have logged one movie on Letterboxd this year, and it has prevented me from logging a second, because every week I get a Letterboxd recap, and it's like, here's your 2025. You watched one movie, and it's Madam Web. And I want I want Letterboxd to think I watched Madam Web and then killed myself.
Your year-end review is just going to be like, your most watched actor, Dakota Johnson. Your most watched movie, your highest rated movie, Madam Web.
Where the Madam Web heads at.
The moment it hits streaming, I'm there. I'm watching it.
It sure rules. There's not a superhero in that movie. It's just... See you guys.
Bye.
But yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas.